Today, we are in the third week of our series, The House That Built Me. This is a vision series that we do every year that has different names. This year, it's The House That Built Me, and it gears toward and leads toward next week is our annual Heart for the House offering. And every year, we take an end of the year Heart for the House offering, and we give generously. We, every person that calls Citizen Church home, we ask you to pray just between you and God. An amount to give and contribute toward the above and beyond ministries of our church going into 2025. So the last few weeks, I've given you some of those initiatives that our offering this year will go toward. The first week of this series, we talked about in this series, The House That Built Me, we talked about stewarding the miracle that our church is almost 93 years old, and it's our job, it's our role to steward the miracle of what God has given us. And then also last week, the title of my message was Steward the Future, and that was all about the idea that right now as a church and as individuals, even in your family, your business, in looking at what God has called us to do, we're all holding a spiritual baton. This is our race. This is our leg of the race that we're running. And one day we're going to hand off the baton to the next generation. And it's our job collectively as the church to hand off something better than we got it. And so last week was a challenge to run our race and to make sure we're future-minded, thinking about the next generation. So today is a message, though, of faith. My prayer all week is that you would leave today after this unique Sunday, and you'll see why in a moment, this unique Sunday that you will leave and you will be filled up with faith, filled up with what God has called you to do, and really this desire to step out into the unknown. The cornerstone scripture for this series comes from Psalm 26. King David wrote this, "I shout my praise to you. I tell all about the wonderful things you have done." He's talking to God. "Lord, I love the house where you live. I love the place where your glory is." All the way back to the Old Testament, there was a command, but also I think is a godly response to love the house of God, to love the house of God that ministers to us and our families and future generations. Our church's mission statement is about the house of God. It's this, it's we partner with God in building the church among all people everywhere. That's our mission statement as a church. We partner with God in building the church among all people everywhere. That means when God tells us, build the church, partner with other churches, plant churches, it's our job to say yes when God asks us to do something, because we know on the other side of radical obedience is radical blessing, and we earn the trust of God, and we want God to say, yes, I want to use you as individuals and us as the church. So today, like I said, is a day of faith. And really, when it comes to our mission statement, that takes faith. It takes big faith to partner with God in building the church among all people everywhere. Hebrews 11:6 says this about faith, "But without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please him." Without faith, think about this verse. Without faith, it's impossible to walk with God and please him. Well, what is faith? What is faith? Hebrews 11:1, the first verse of that chapter, is a very famous definition of faith, and I love it in the Amplified Version. It says this, "Now faith is the assurance, the title, deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality." Now listen to this last statement. "Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses." Isn't it just like God? I want them to put up that one statement. I think it's the best definition of faith out there, and it's awesome because it comes straight from Scripture. I think what God is waiting on us to do, and we see this all through Scripture, God is waiting on us to listen to what he's asking us to do and to step out in faith beyond what we can see, feel, touch, smell, beyond the senses, beyond what we say is even logical. And when we step out in that radical of faith, God does the miraculous. And there are people in the room, you can think back here and at North Campus, you can think back to times in your life when you knew God was calling you to do something. It went beyond the logic of you, maybe your spouse, even those around you. But when you obeyed God and stepped out, the miraculous happened. I think God is waiting on us to move at times when we're waiting on him to move. Hello? Phone ringing? We got that? All right. Just making sure. There's a couple times. I just didn't know. I think God is waiting on us to move in an act of faith. So today is a story of faith, like I mentioned. My prayer is that you would leave filled up today. On week one of this series, and really all through the fall, I've told little pieces of the story of Union City Church, the church that my brother and his wife Delaney stepped out and planted in Washington, D.C. They were our longtime youth and young adult pastors here. And the story from beginning to end is a story of what can happen when people step out in faith in obedience to God. Well, we had Thanksgiving this last week, you know, and Brandon and his wife Delaney came out and spent Thanksgiving here in Albuquerque. And I asked Brandon to stay over for today and to come share some of the miracle stories of what's happening in Union City Church. So would you guys give my brother Brandon a big round of applause as he comes? Brandon, it is really miraculous to see what God is doing in your church and in your family and your congregation. Nothing short of a miracle. And I want us to tell a little bit of this story, but we're in this series, The House That Built Me. And in week one, I opened up sharing a lot about how this house built me, but you're my brother and you're from this house too. And I just wanted you to share a little bit about your lives, where you are now, but also a little bit about this house.
Yeah, definitely. First of all, good morning, church. You guys doing well? First service had less people and it was a little more boisterous. I'm gonna try that again. Oh. Hey, good morning, church.
Man.
There we go. Okay.
All right.
Hey, I'm really glad to be here. And as Dustin said, not only is this a house that has built you and so many others, this is a house that has built me. And I love coming to Albuquerque. This is still home in so many ways. When I'm in D.C., all I long for is green chili. So I've been eating good since I got back here. And I love this place. This is a church that I spent 31 years of my life in. I'm 35 now, moved about 4 years ago. I know I don't look a day over 34. And people ask me my skincare routine, and I say prayer and fasting. So
yeah.
That's what you got to do, a lot of that.
People don't ask me that. Yeah.
Nobody asked me that either. I just made it up. I'm lying on stage here. But I love this place, and I have a photo behind me, but I was talking to my mom this week. This is the day I was dedicated in the church. This was the fourth day of my life. I was born on a Wednesday, and I was in church on a Sunday. Come on, we were built different in the 80s, somebody. Built different. I was born in 89, but I claim the 80s like I lived
the
whole
decade. He called himself an 80s kid, and he was like 3 months old in the
80s. Yeah, it's fine. It's crazy times. It was crazy times. But man, I love the church. I've been in it since I can remember, obviously. And really, the church became my second home. It wasn't always this location, as Dustin talked about a few weeks back. The church has moved around a bit over the course of 90 plus years. And I remember in elementary school, almost every single day, you probably remember as well, we would come home from Osuna, or we wouldn't go home. We would go to the church, our second home, and just unsupervised mostly. And I remember, I think I robbed the kids pastor of candy at times, which I'm going to stand before God someday and repent. But just coming to the place and this becoming a place that I love so dearly. I was in the kids ministry here in this church, learning about Jesus, singing the craziest songs you've ever heard, like You Can't Get to Heaven on Roller Skates. If you know that song, you've been blessed immensely. I got to be a part of the youth ministry here and just had leaders that I loved, and I just desired to be like. I had a youth pastor, same youth pastor as you, that would look us in the eyes every week and say, you're destined for greatness. And I remember that, and I ran with that through the rest of my life. A college ministry that was brand new. It jumped, kickstarted in 2005. I graduated high school in 2007, and so I got to be a part of this college ministry for a season that just built my faith. It's a college ministry that I owe my marriage to. Come on, somebody. This beautiful woman named Delaney McKee walked in one night in June of 2010, and I saw her from across the way, and I said, Lord, I choose her. And it took about 6 months of convincing, but she then chose me as well. And I just was shaped there, built godly friendships. And I wrote it down like this as I reflected this week, that the kids ministry of this church built the foundation of my faith. The youth ministry kept me in the faith. And the college ministry formed my faith until I could make it my own.
Wow.
And so I've been built in this house. And so I love this place. I love Citizen Church. I love telling people about what God has done and what God is doing here. And then long story short, after college, I came back here. I interned for about a year. And then I got a full-time job as the college and young adults pastor. I think at the ripe age of like 22, I had no business doing that. But it was so much fun, and so many faces even in this room now that are in their 30s as well with me and have children, and we were kind of in that phase and season together. And what a beautiful time. I look back on that season of life running Wake, which is now called Citizen Young Adults, and just the privilege of my life to be a part of that ministry, doing amazing things at the University of New Mexico campus. And then in 2016, the beginning of that year, we hired my wife on full-time staff as well. And my brother said, hey, we would love for you guys to run the young adult ministry and the youth ministry in tandem. And that was a crazy season. I reflect on that, like I have no idea how on earth we did that. But little did I know that God was just giving my wife and I, metaphorically speaking, broader shoulders to carry more. Yeah. We didn't know at that point that we would be church planting and planting in DC, but God was having to teach us and train us how to depend on people and build teams. And so the beautiful season of life, I love every minute of it. Youth ministry, I say, it keeps you young while simultaneously takes years away from your life.
Amen.
So pray for your youth pastors, okay? And so this is the house that I met Jesus. It's the house that I was discipled. This is the house that I was given a shot at preaching and leading ministries. And really it was through that gave my wife and I the courage to respond to the call of God, where in 2018, a story that many of you guys know by now, we felt God stirring us and leading us toward church planting. Didn't know where, and so we started this year-long endeavor with the blessing of my brother, my dad, our families to pursue this. And so we prayed, Lord, where do you want to send us? We were open to pretty much anything. I said, God, anywhere but Tucumcari. That was going to be my Nineveh that I ran from. I was like, if you send me there, I will not go.
Now he's going to definitely call you there.
No shade on Tucumcari if you're from there. God bless you. And so through a series of events, about a year, some confirmation, we decided on Washington, D.C. I don't think I decided it. God decided it for us. I would never have picked that, right? And God really called us to that city, developed a love and a vision for that city. And I had the opportunity to stand on the stage in September of 2020 and preach a sermon called God Made Me Do It. And I called it that so my mom wouldn't get mad at me for moving away, but she would have to take that up with God. And we cast the vision for this church plant called Union City Church in D.C. And I'll never forget that my brother came up after me, after I preached, and he did something that pastors don't do. And he looked at a church full of people, and he said, hey, I think everybody in this church should pray, and everybody should consider going and moving and being a part of this church plant. Nobody does that. That's actually a crazy thing to do. Most pastors say, here's your little bit of money that makes us feel okay with sending you out. And these are the 100 people that you can't ask or touch. Don't touch them, right? And Dustin said, anybody, everybody pray. And through the course of the next 4 months or so, there were 33 people, families, children that uprooted their life, moved across the nation with us. I always say there's a fine, fuzzy line between faith and foolishness, and they were flirting with it, guys. And they came, and I'm immensely grateful, eternally grateful for every person. They helped us to start a church in the midst of the nation's capital. So this house helped us to plant the house that we now have in D.C., and it's just been an amazing season.
Brandon, I obviously got to witness all of that and the act of faith, and you guys officially launched in September of 21, right? Yeah. Just celebrated 3 years. And it is truly a miracle to see what God is doing. So many people have attempted to start churches in D.C., and for whatever reason, it didn't work out. But God's hand is on what you're doing. I call it revival because I think it is literally the definition of a revival is happening in this city. Talk to us a little bit of some of the highlights, the fun stories, the ups and downs of the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's been a number of those ups and downs. You know, we got there, and I kept thinking, surely COVID will end sometime. We held on to it till about February of 22 in D.C. So that was a challenge. I mean, we got there and it was just like, just difficulty after difficulty, trying to build teams. And we just saw God's faithfulness from day one, though. We were not able to do a lot of the things that we set out to do. We couldn't gather big groups of people and cast vision and add them to the team. We just had to meet one-on-one with people for coffee all over the District of Columbia, all over what we call the DMV, which is not the Department of Motor Vehicles. It's D.C., Maryland, Virginia. So you got to learn that when you move to that area. Not everyone's obsessed with the DMV. And so we were just meeting, and God just had his hand on this. I'll say this. We are just a product of the faithfulness and the goodness of God. So anything that we get credit for at Union City, we have to immediately reflect that back to God and say, he gets the credit, he gets the glory. And so he just built our team, brought in amazing people. And 3 years in, we are now averaging about 600 people that are gathering every single
Isn't
Sunday.
Isn't that amazing?
In D.C. We've baptized over 50 people, and we have had hundreds of people that have come to Christ for the first time, which wow. I think that deserves our best applause of the day. And so God's just working and moving. We're having influence in the lives of people and discipling people that work in the Pentagon, the Capitol, the White House, high up in the military. And you just begin to see when you're there that, you know, it doesn't even matter if you have the biggest church in the world, but your church can be potent. It can be really strong in who you have in that room. And so just seeing a lot of great things. But one of the things that we're going to talk about for a few moments today is kind of the miracle of the new stuff that's been taking place in Union City. And some of that has to do with venue. Finding a venue was such a challenge, and that has been consistently one of our greatest challenges as a church. And so in 3 years, we've already had to meet in three different locations, and we are what is called a portable church. And if you've never been a part of a church plant, basically that means that you rent a space on Sundays, you come in, you set the thing up, you do the thing, you have church, and then you tear the thing down. And our church is scrappy. Like, we've got great people, and you know, it's amazing. We've built amazing teams. Got a guy named Aaron Archuleta from this house that has built the single greatest setup team that has ever existed in the history of church plants. Just want to honor Aaron Archuleta.
And that's hard because there's been seasons of how early is this volunteer team getting to the church?
Like five in the morning.
Five in the morning. I mean, and so it's unbelievable.
He's amazing. So God bless him. And so really, there's a few challenges with being portable. One of them is wear and tear on your teams, as I was just saying. Another is uncertainty. I mean, COVID, a lot of churches that met in schools were just getting kicked out with no notice. Right. You could say one thing the owner of that venue doesn't like, and they will kick you out from one Sunday to the next. A lot of uncertainty. The cost is crazy. Rental costs are insane. In DC, in our first venue, we were paying for 1 week what a lot of my church planter friends were paying in 6 weeks worth of rents. And so the costs are high. There's no consistency. We want to gather and do prayer. We want to do worship nights. We want to run Alpha in Jesus' name. There's so many things we want to do, but every time you gather, there's a price tag. You got to rent the space again, and it's just complicated. And so we've just been saying, Lord, would you do something miraculous? I talked to a number of pastors in the city. I think one of the greatest gifts that we have in DC are the other pastors. The churches, there is a real camaraderie. And when you show up, it's not like your competition. It's like, welcome, we're not winning here, so we got to keep running. And so we've been brought in, and I just talked to these pastors, and I met with a guy just recently. They just celebrated their 10-year anniversary and are still renting a space.
Wow.
One of my best friends in the city, another pastor, he has been 17 years in, and I just want to thank God that they are in process of getting a building, but 17 years in, and they still have not had a permanent location. Another pastor recently retired after 27 years, never had a permanent building. So you talk to these guys, they're not there to discourage you. All they're doing is encouraging, but they're saying, Brandon, if this takes 10 to 20 years to get a building, you're not doing something wrong. That's just kind of how this goes. But I would lead those conversations thinking, all right, Lord, I just don't think that's our story. For whatever reason, I think you've brought us here to put down roots and to do it early. And so we just kind of had that crazy faith from the beginning that God was going to do something. And so, again, long story short, in September of 23, so this is our 2-year anniversary, we moved into a new rented venue called the Miracle Theater, which is a pretty epic name for a church location, right? And the Miracle Theater is owned by National Community Church, pastored by Mark Batterson. And as we were in the process of renting this, I got to sit down and meet with him in person. And I'll never forget, he looked me in the eyes and he said, miracle's not just a name, it's a reality. He said, there's something special about this place. He said, I was healed of my asthma. I had it since I was a baby, and I was healed of asthma in that space. Other churches, their members, their congregations have seen the miraculous take place. And he looked me in the eyes and he said, you will see the miraculous. So I took that conversation, and we, our very first week as a church in that building, I preached a sermon called Miracle Season Loading. And we dubbed our time in that facility as Miracle Season. And we declared it in faith, and like, I'm believing for healing. I'm believing for jobs, for families to be restored. And I'm talking about a building. I'm like, we're gonna get a building. And after church, I would be like, I should not have said that. Like, I'm getting people's hopes up, and I don't know if that can actually happen. And here's what's amazing. 10 months into Miracle Season, 10 months into a venue that we were only supposed to be in for 6 months, I got a phone call in July. And it was a realtor in the city who works for a nonprofit called Sacred Spaces, and their entire mission is to preserve all these beautiful churches in the city that are being flipped into church-themed nightclubs that are being turned into condos. And they have this mission of, like, not on our watch. Let's keep these as churches. He calls me. He says, Brandon, one of the most beautiful and well-kept churches I have seen in the city just went up on the market. And it's a church called Church of the Holy City, 16,000 square feet. It is less than a mile from the White House on the same street as the White House in an area called the Avenue of Presidents. He's like, it's one of the most significant streets in the entire city.
So Brandon told me this. It's on the same street as the White House. You can see the White House. So I tested him on this because you got to test people.
He didn't believe me.
So when I was there, I walked out into the middle of the street and this is how close it is to the White House. That's the White House. How crazy is that?
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's what I'm I was out in the middle of the street almost getting hit by cars like, ooh.
That would have been a bad way to go, man. Yeah. But
or a good way. I don't
so
know.
I went and I looked at the location of this building, and it just fit our vision. We've always said from before we even planted, we want to have a location in the center of the city. This is a bullseye in Washington, D.C. It is more centralized than you can possibly. You cannot get more centralized than this. Mm. And so I go and I see this building. It's on the market for $5 million. We don't have the money. But I went anyway, open house. I went to go see the space. And we've all been there before, right? Has anybody been to an open house of a home you could not afford? And you're walking through, like, you're just being nosy. You're like, wow, like, this is great for someone else. And it's exactly what I thought. I'm walking through, like, this is unbelievable. And this, like, would just be a miracle space. It has a beautiful sanctuary, an upstairs chapel that can seat 80 to 100. It had a finished basement. It's got all kinds of things that you just don't find in this kind of a location in D.C., so I left there. I called my dad. I was kind of depressed. I was like, I just saw the most amazing building that we cannot afford as a church plant. And I told my dad, I said, I wish this would have gone up on the market a year from now. I think we could have been ready. And then I called my brother and I said the same thing. We're just chatting this thing through. And I think he could sense a little bit of like that feeling of this wasn't going to be able to work out.
Yeah. And so Brandon calls me. I'll never forget this night because Mandy and I were just sitting in our living room, just watching TV. And he calls me and just said, Dustin, everything he just said, you know, this building is beautiful, but I wish so bad this would have gone up a year from now. I don't know what to do. And just kind of talking through stuff. He was not calling to ask for anything. But I feel like you were calling just to kind of get a faith boost. And so I just said, Brandon, if there's one thing I've learned, it's we're not the ones who close doors. If God wants to close a door, let him close it. So if the door was open for the open house, walk through it. If the next door opens, walk through it. Because you just never know what God is able to do. And so Brandon at that point had made a few phone calls to some lenders, banks, and there was a few issues with, you know, you guys are a young church, only 3 years old. Lenders aren't jumping up and down about lending to a young church, churches in general anymore. And you had $700,000 in the bank, which by the way, for any church is great. For a church plant is unbelievable. And I think they deserve a big round of applause for that because being unbelievable stewards. But banks were telling you because you were such a young church, a couple of banks were saying, we need you to have over $1 million in the bank to be considered. What made this so tricky is that the sellers, they were being told the sellers were going to look at all of the offers in 10 days from the day we had this phone call. So I'm like encouraging Brandon verbally, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, this is impossible. I don't think this is going to happen. And in the timeline, like, oh my gosh, I just don't think, but I'm encouraging him like, hey, yeah, let's pray. And I told Brandon that night, I said, Brandon, I know you're not asking for this, but we had just opened our North campus. And I said, if this was any other time, I feel like we could take a stab at helping you get that gap of 300,000. And I said, I just don't think we can do it right now. I don't know. We technically had the money, but it was just one of those things. And so we got off the phone that night and I sat down in the living room and my wife, Mandy, I'm very emotional today. I think I'm getting older. I don't know. And I'm just crying about everything. But I was sat in the living room that night and Mandy looked at me and she said, what's going on? I told her. And she looked at me again and she goes, what are you going to do? And I was like, okay, yep. We're going to pray about
this. Mandy, yeah.
I was like, ye of little faith. Dustin gets off the phone, but the next morning, I got up early and came to the church. And I've told this story before, but I was praying and for Brandon, Union City. And I just said, God, I want to do something, but this is just bad timing. I don't know if I can go to the board and ask for this. I don't know what we should do. I feel like this is you. You want them to have this building. You want Union City to have permanency in D.C. I don't know what to do. And in that prayer, I just said, God, I also just need to make sure, you know, we're okay. And what about us in this season? And this is what I've shared with you before. But God clearly spoke to me in that moment and said, Dustin, define us. And I just started weeping. And in that moment, I knew there is no us in them. We're one church. We're the capital C church. And so that, yeah, I went into, when work started, I went into one of our executive team's offices and gathered our executive team and just said, guys, I feel like I told them the story. And I said, I feel like I need to take this to the board, but I know this isn't great timing. And I don't want to take it to them without us collectively feeling in union on this. And so we talked, and they're mostly financial minds, you know, and for them to be eyes full of tears and say, this is God. We need to go to the board. And so I called a Zoom board meeting for that night, and time was of the essence. And I cast the whole vision, showed them pictures, and we prayed about it on that Zoom call. And in that Zoom call, our board stepped out in faith and said, you know, what we're gonna do is let's make this a part of our heart for the house offering. Let's borrow from our future to help create Union Cities. And in an act of faith, we prayed and unanimously voted that night, yes. And I called Brandon and said, can you jump on this Zoom call? It was very late on the East Coast. They were on vacation, but yeah, you can take over from there.
Yeah, so I jump on the Zoom call, and I think it's one of those nights that's just gonna be crystallized in my mind forever. I'm on this computer screen and looking at faces of people that I love. It's you and Dad. My brother Jonathan is on the call as well. He's part of the board. Then just board members, people that have known me since I was born or since I was a little boy. People like David Gaona and Kim Brunetto and Bruce Stidworthy. Like, pillars not just of our church, but in my life personally. And these guys, just one after one, are all in tears. Everybody's crying and just talking about being blessed by what God is doing here, what God is doing in D.C. And at the end of that kind of conversation, Dustin jumped back on. He said, hey, we just unanimously voted. We're sending you guys the $300,000. And so that night, they sent me an email that was like approving that. So I was like, we're gonna need some proof. No, I didn't say that, but they sent me that email. This was the best part. I called the lender the next day and I said, hey, we don't have $700,000 anymore. I got $1 million, let's go. And I went from no lender paying us any attention to we now had two within 24 hours that were competing for our business. And so we got to choose which lender that we would use. And so that moment was so significant because we would not even have gotten a seat at the table. This thing would have been dead in the water. And so I'm grateful for that moment, for your faith. I think I'm most grateful for the faith of your wife in that moment. I gotta thank her for that. And what an amazing moment. And I just wanted to say this, that also that $300,000, that moment of faith and that moment of generosity became this catalyst of extreme generosity from around the nation. I kid you not, it was like the very next day, I get a call from a guy that had given us $20,000 the year before in our end of year offering. And he said, hey, I just was feeling like, I know you guys are up to some big stuff. He said, I feel like the Lord put in my heart to send you another $20,000. Would you guys need that? I was like, yeah, we would, for sure. We had church after church all over the country. As Dustin just said, it's not an us and them, it's a capital C church thing. Churches all over the nation just started sending $10,000 and $10,005 and $20,000. We had two families in 1 week both commit to giving $50,000 toward this building. I think that's worth celebrating as well. Absolute insane faith. One of those families was a man that I had only met one time, and that was how much he believed in what God was doing in D.C. For our own church, you guys catalyzed the faith of Union City. So I stood up and I said, guys, our sending church just agreed to send us $300,000. And we have a choice. We either sit here in gratitude and say, wow, thank you for your generosity, or we allow that to stir up our own hearts, and it's now our turn. What are we going to do to pitch in to this vision to buy this building? In our church of primarily 25 to 29-year-olds, I feel like I'm back preaching at young adult ministry again, in 6 weeks, we raised $350,000 from within our own congregation. And I mean this when I say it. None of this is possible. Without that moment and you guys having the faith to say, we will borrow from our future so Union City can have one, without that moment, we don't have this building. We just never would have even gotten to the table. And I wanted to celebrate this. So we had our offer accepted the first week of September. That was a miracle. We were like, this is amazing. Closing took a while, as it does with commercial sales. Just on November 21st, we walked in. I signed 199 papers. I signed my name a bunch of times. And we got the keys to the building, which I just want to celebrate. So that's us. We've all got goofy grins because we literally went from the title company to the building. And this is Maria, this is Delaney, Christian, Izzy. These are all people that came with us from this church, right? Again, that picture is this house. And these are people that helped us to build our house. And it's just incredible to see how God has used every single moment. And this is what I wanna say. When I walked in on the 21st, we didn't just put down $1 million. And again, we only had 700,000 in July. From July to November, We put down $1.7 million that day. Amazing. We still have reserves in the bank. We have enough money to do a few of the renovations that we want to do to make the space suitable for church. And all of it points back to that moment and the generosity of Citizen Church. And so I love you guys, and I'm so thankful. Thank you for your willingness to do that.
You know what's amazing is the story of our partnership with Union City goes back to 2020. In 2020, in the year the pandemic started, we took a Heart for the House offering. And that fall is when they announced they were moving and planting Union City. And we made that our main anchor project in our Heart for the House offering that year. And we raised that year a record offering at that point for our church. And over the next 18 months, from the fall of 2020 to the next 18 months, we were able to give Union City almost $500,000 to help them start this church. And then this last year, through generosity and a miracle, $300,000. This is what's amazing is this. Union City, yes, is technically an independent, separate church, but they are us and we are them. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we stand with each other, and I could not be more proud of our generosity as a church, the difference that your generosity is going to make in the most influential city, maybe in the entire world. Over the next few generations, decades, I see God doing something miraculous. I read a passage this last week, and I want to read this and celebrate, and then I want to pray over you. And it's when the Israelites in Joshua 4 had come to the end of wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Joshua is now the leader. They finally had to just cross one more thing. They had to cross the Jordan River, and they were in the Promised Land. And when they crossed the Jordan River, God made them build a memorial. And God is a God of memorials. All through the Old Testament, people built memorials to remember what God had done. And I think about the last 6 months and from the first phone call, when we're celebrating today, it sounds like running through a field of daisies. It was agonizing for me, and I'm not even the pastor of the church. And I just, the ups and the downs of this is gonna work. No, all the doors are closing. No, it's gonna work. All the doors are closing. Banks won't have us. No, they will. The ups and the downs and the agony, but watching the miracle of God, one thing I promised myself this week was, God, when miracles like this happen, I don't wanna forget, because that's what we do. At both campuses today, we took communion, and the reason why is because Jesus in that moment said, do this often in remembrance of me, because he knows we forget. And in this story in Joshua 4, 20 through 22, it says this, it was there at Gilgal that Joshua piled up the 12 stones taken from the Jordan River. Then Joshua said to the Israelites, in the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, this place is where the Israelites crossed over the Jordan on dry ground. My prayer is that this building in Washington, D.C. is not just a building, but it's the memorial of one day when our kids and their kids and our great-grandkids, and same with yours, will look at that building one day celebrating the thousands of people that God has saved, the influence it's had in that city, will look at that building and go, this is the place where Union City crossed over from wandering for the first 4 years from place to place to place. This is where they crossed over into the promise that God gave you in Delaney in 2018, where we'll tell our children, oh, he is a God of miracles. He is a God of the miraculous. He is still the God of wonders because we remember what he did. Do you guys believe that today? Proverbs 11:24, I said one verse, I'm gonna read this one too, then I'm gonna pray for you. I'm a pastor, I've gotta have four closings. Proverbs 11:24-25, one of my favorite passages, honestly, in the Message translation says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. This is God's word. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others, is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, the spirit of generosity of our church, of you, is the catalyst to why we're blessed today. I think God is allowing our territory to expand the property of our North Campus and our Maui Campus, if you remember those stories, those two properties were given to us. I believe God's word is true. And I believe God asks us sometimes, I don't only want you to believe in me. God says, I want you to believe me. Do you believe that the world of the generous gets larger and larger? Do you believe that? I do, because I've experienced firsthand as an individual and also as the pastor of a church, we can't outgive God. Do you guys believe that today? Come on, come on. We can't outgive God. Brandon, if you would stand for a second. And also, if everyone here in our North Campus would stand as well. And I'm gonna ask no one to leave until after we pray, and then I've got a few things I wanna say. And so just, we're early, just be reverent in this moment. I want us to pray when we do a very sincere prayer from your heart. Don't just listen to my prayer. Spiritual warfare is real. And when you're taking ground in Washington, D.C., the spiritual forces of darkness are not going to be happy about that. So we're gonna pray today a prayer of covering. We're their sending church. We're their covering church. We're gonna pray a spirit of covering around them and blessing and protection around Brandon and Delaney, their three young kids, all the volunteers, the people of their church, knowing this is just the beginning of the story that God wants to do. So if you would stretch out your hands just toward Brandon and let's pray for Brandon, Delaney, and Union City. God, we come before you today. And God, we pray for Brandon and Delaney as the spiritual leaders of that house. God, I pray that they would never forget the day they crossed over. God, I pray that that building would be a memorial, that they would tell the story of your wonders, of your miracles, of how big you are and how your promises are true and that you are the promise keeper. God, I pray that the best days for their church are ahead of them. We pray blessing on them, protection over them. God, I pray for Delaney. I pray for Brandon and Delaney, their marriage. I pray for their kids. God, I pray for Finley, for Carson, for Archie. Protection in Jesus' name. God, I pray for their volunteers, their staff, the people that have given their lives for this calling and this cause. God, I pray that they would see the wonders of why you called them. That blessing awaits every person who stepped out in faith and said yes to a radical call from you years ago. We pray for this next year that you would go before them and bless them, and that over the next few decades, we would hear the stories of revival in Washington, D.C., that what happens there will spread across our nation, and that our faith will be built up because of who you are and what you've done. God, we thank you for them. Again, we pray blessing over them. We thank you for everything you've done. We give you all glory and praise. And in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen, amen.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Love you, Brandon. Could you guys stay standing for one moment? And please, again, just stay standing. And I'm asking no one to leave just for a moment. I know it's scary when I say stand and just one moment. Next week is our Heart for the House offering. It's one of the highlights of our year, and it's a year we need a miracle. We need next week to be a miracle Sunday. I'm gonna have them put our four initiatives, main initiatives, back up on the screen. We talked over the last few weeks, I won't go into a lot of it, but Union City, what we talked about today, we're replenishing that section of reserves. Again, we borrowed from our future to create someone else's, and we're gonna replenish our reserves and create strength going into next year. We need a new sound upgrade for our main campus, our central campus. It's 13 years old and had a 10-year lifespan. The same thing with our seating. And then also for our co-church network, because we're not just about this church, we're about the church, right? Our co-church network. Here's an interesting other little fact. Brandon had a pastor call him from our city, a part of our co-church network, a couple days ago. They're in the middle of doing some of these remodels, and they were about $10,000 short from finishing this out. One of the pastors in co-church, who's in the middle of their own building project right now in our city, calls Brandon and says, I feel like God told me to tell you, our church is giving you $10,000. How amazing is that? The miracles keep flowing. And that's birthed out of our co-church network and what we're doing with them. So guys, come next week prepared. This envelope, you can grab one from the seat back pockets in front of you before you leave. My prayer is that you actually pray this week and say, God, what do you want me to give next week? What do you want me to give in this offering? The Heart for the House option online is already open. It will stay open through the end of the year, but I'm believing for a miracle next week here and at North. Are you guys believing for a miracle next Sunday morning? Awesome. Well, guys, I want to pray over you one more time, a prayer of blessing, and we cannot wait to see you back next Sunday. God, we thank you so much for every person here and at our North Campus. God, I pray that you would bless us, our families, our marriages, our children, as we go into this next week. May we hear from you and obey you and what you're wanting us to give next Sunday. And may we step out in faith and receive the blessing because of it. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Thank you.